Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The big man on the mound, Lee Smith, can do what he's done so well all year long. Got him on a breaking pitch. To left field. Hit well. Going back, caught under the wall, but he'll have the play and makes the catch. So the congratulations for Lee Smith as he saves it for Steve Trout, who pitched a whale of a ball game.
NLCS Game 2. Can we just say the series stopped right there?
Where Lee Smith did.
Got the
they
same.
Won. They went to the World Series and
I remember it well.
Lee Smith, the latest Hall of Famer, the pride of the Chicago Cubs, having his big day tomorrow at Wrigley Field. He'll be honored before the game, his whole family, all his friends in town, and nobody's happier than I am that he's getting his due. Lee Smith joins us on Inside the Clubhouse right now. Matt, good morning, Smitty. How are you?
I'm doing good, Bruce. How you guys doing, man?
I'm so excited for you. I can't imagine.
Oh, thank you.
I can't imagine. I know the Hall of Fame is the ultimate, but what does this mean for you having your day out there?
Well, you know, man, the weird thing about it all is like coming back here to Chicago and seeing all the fans, everybody remembering like my first day in the big leagues and seeing the ground crew, the fire department and all that, man. But really to get out there on the field, man, sort of give me goosebumps right now thinking about it, you know, with those guys like, you know, seeing Jody and Leon Moore, little Dickie Nose and all those guys like that. But the Cub organization have been nothing but first class with me. Even after I retired from the game and was with other organizations, every time I came to Chicago, Harry Caray would always come over and holler at me and do things like that, man. So the Cub organization in this city has always been somewhat home to me.
You know, eight different teams in a long 18-year career, but you are remembered most as a Cub, I think, Lee. I mean, you came up here and played through age 29 here. You know, there are other spots that could lay claim, and maybe they've had, but it's got to be nice to feel embraced by Cubdom in full this way.
Oh, my God, yeah, man. You know what, now that I get back here, because, dude, when I first came up, my side sort of messed me up. Everybody thought I was on the Bears team. but I always when I come back here, people in the airport, you know, everybody always remembers the Chicago Cubs thing. And I think, like you just said, most of the times that people remember me was definitely a Chicago Cub, and I got no problem with that.
Smitty, how would you pitch to guys now? You see everybody having 99 and 100 coming in now. You were one of the few back then that threw 100 miles an hour. They didn't even have radar guns at that time, but we knew you threw harder than just about anybody for a longer period of time. What would be different about Lee Smith now pitching as opposed to 20 years ago, 25 years ago, 30 years ago?
Well, you know, man, you sort of somewhat answered your own question. You said I pitch. Now we got guys that are throwers and not pitchers. Big difference. You know what? I always pride myself on being able to hit that outside corner and making quality pitches, you know. And I think now if you look back on the pitch selection, the pitch location, I think it's so much of a big deal. But you know what's really strange is to see these guys throwing 99 miles an hour in the ball out of the ballpark, you know.
Yep.
They're not quality pitches. And I think we now look at guys like Fergie Jenkins and myself and so many other guys, Jeff Reardon has overlooked being able to pitch and hit those corners and keep the ball down.
Well, and your slider was nasty, Lee. I mean, these days the best relievers are the ones who can throw that heat nice and high and then throw a slider that looks just like it and dies away. I think you would kill in that kind of style going after these launch angle guys.
Well, you know, because most of the guys now, man, they're swinging for the fences. They don't, you know, there are not very many guys, I think, hit the ball with pitch. You see a guy a fastball down the way, the guy hit it over the left field wall. That don't usually happen. But now I think of being able to, as a pitcher, thinking, let the hitters get themselves out, other than you thinking about, I got to get these guys out. Now I think the slider, the guys are looking for a good pitch. They don't swing at the crippled pitches. So for guys like Andre Dawson and all those people, they hit your mistakes. Now the guys here are worried about the launch angle and that speed ratio thing, which is over my head, you know. But I think, like I said earlier, Bruce, you answered your own question, the difference between pitching and throwing.
Smitty, the difference between closing now and when you came up, the first, 8 or 9 years, 10 years of your career, you and Fingers and Suter and Gossage all came in the seventh inning normally with runners on base, the game situation up in the air, and you pitched the rest of the way. Do you think people just didn't recognize the fact of how difficult that was to get 35 saves back then as opposed to 50 now by throwing one inning? And is that the reason why it took forever for you to get into the Hall of Fame?
I think so, because you know what now, man? I don't think classify back now as what they did back in the day. We were considered relief pitchers. We weren't closers. You know, we came in the 7th, 8th inning, you know, things like that. I actually pitched in a lot of there was a time here that I was in Chicago. I led the team in wins, and the guys were like, man, you must have had a lot of blown saves. I'm like, nah, I came in the game and we were down by 1 in the 7th inning, and if I pitched well, we held a couple. One run wasn't nothing in Wrigley. So I ended up being the winning pitcher. But now those guys like myself, and you said Goose and Bruce and all those guys, you think about, you go out there, you get a chance for a blown save 3 times in 1 day. It don't happen. It don't happen now. But I think I love him to death, man. One of my favorite managers was Jim Fry, but I don't think Jimmy wanted to bring me in the game until the go-ahead run was at second. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, Jimmy, I'd like to go out there with a clean slate one time now.
Lee Smith grew up in Castor, Louisiana, this tiny little town, Lee, and you've told the story about your high school principal, Mr. Sneed, calls you into his office. You think you're in trouble, but instead he says, you know, you should come out for the baseball team, because you were playing basketball, but he said you should come out for the baseball team. Tell people what he said and then what happened after that.
Well, you know what? Like, I had this bad knack of putting on the girl's ponytails in the hallway, and I've been called in the office a few times for that, so I thought that's what it was all about, you know? But we actually, man, had a softball game in our PE class, and the baseball coach was the teacher. So I ended up going down there, grabbing this softball and throwing the left field corner on the line, the home plate, and get the guy at home, and he saw that arm strength, I guess, you know? I'm like, man, me and my brothers are throwing rocks across the water, throwing peaches at the mailbox. I never thought about that, you know. But when he saw that, he came in and talked to Mr. Sneed. And I said to him, like, man, I don't really – the first year or so, they asked me about coming out for the baseball team. I'm like, no, man, I can't afford the cleats and all the other stuff that you need that. I'm a basketball player. All I got to do is worry about making enough money to buy sneakers, and I'm on the basketball team. Plus, I didn't really like the game of baseball. I thought it was boring, you know. But yeah. We end up getting there, you know, and the next like, that summer went by at work. We did a lot of lawn mowing for Mr. Sneed, and I never forget when the baseball season started. It was right, so the guy didn't practice. They was in the gym with me a lot. And I ended up, he asked me about coming out for the team, and I said no. And then I end up coming into his office, which I thought Smitty was in trouble again, like I said. So down that, man, was the full uniform. My number was, I never get uniform, everything. Number 3, I never get the cleat, the glove, all the stuff you needed, man, and for the baseball team. And I'm like, well, my dad, I think I'm on the baseball team, Pops. You know, he said, hey, man, go ahead, dude. But my dad really didn't like that baseball thing because I had chores to do, man. And we played baseball at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Didn't go too good for me. Love basketball because, you know, we were like, you know, playing at night. But baseball was taking me away from a lot of chores that wanted me to do. But I got to give all that credit to the community of Castor. Guys that I named in my speech, Bobby Gray, and all those guys saw a lot in me. And they chased me down a lot in the Cliff City Castle to play the game of baseball because it took a while for me to actually grasp that I had an opportunity to make it in baseball.
Hall of Famer Lee Smith joining us for a few more minutes on Inside the Clubhouse. Smitty has his day tomorrow at Wrigley Field. It's so exciting for somebody that, you know, you were there when I first started covering baseball. I guess I'm still there. And Smitty, here, Matt, Smitty used to sit on the bench in pregame watch, and he was pretending he wasn't watching batting practice, and he'd say, "Bruce, stand in front of me here," and he'd say, "Say whatever you want," but he'd be looking over my shoulder and watching the extra guys hit, the guys he'd face in the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, but he didn't want them to know. So that was before video, right, Smitty?
Yep.
It was before video, you were doing your own scouting on the extra guys.
Definitely, man, definitely. You know, and this time of year when you have those September call-ups, kids like that, I know, American League, but yep, I did that. I was out there doing my own scouting, man, but like I said, now these guys got so much information, you don't go out have that 2 or 3 days before. They know when these guys started playing ball and they were 14. They got video on them and everything, man. But with me now, I just like, you know, I try to figure it out myself because I always figured the guy's shortcoming, they was going to work on it in batting practice. If a guy couldn't hit the ball inside, he was going to have the pitching coach out there to throw him bad balls inside. So I was looking at what these guys wanted. Like I said, I was my own video team.
Yeah, that was great. Talk to us. We have a couple more minutes with you. I know you got a heavy schedule and you got to go, but talk to us about your only home run against another Hall of Famer.
Well, I got to say, I love that because one of my starting position players, Mr. Larry Boa, he didn't have a home run yet, and we were giving him a hard time by not going deep. And then I come in Atlanta, and I think Phil Negro threw me a knuckleball, and I probably had my eyes closed, and I hit this home run. It hit the net there, and I actually stopped at second base. I never forget the umpire was Frank Pulley, which was long past now, and he says to me, "Hey, Smitty, it's a home run. Get off the field." And I'm like, I actually got the ball, man. I actually got the ball for that. But Billy Williams was like working on me that day on my hitting because he said, "You know what? You're pitching a lot. You're going to get some more at bats, and you might have an opportunity that you're not going to be bunting." And I actually ended up pitching like 2 2/3 innings in that game where I got in that bat and it wasn't a bunt. It wasn't a bunt situation.
Smitty, your favorite Cub moment before we let you go? And Matt and I really appreciate the time. I mean, they're hard to isolate into one, aren't they?
Oh, man, yeah. Probably the saddest day was my last year with the Cubs was the All-Star game in 87. Everybody pitched in the All-Star game. And I was the only guy left. And I ended up pitching 3 innings in the All-Star game, which was 1987. And there where I was getting that thing of being one of the best relievers in the game. And I ended up striking out Mark McGwire there in Oakland. And I think they started putting me as one of the, you know, maybe top 10 and closers that year. And that was probably the one glad moment. But 84, the whole year. The whole year, we went through a lot of injuries and things like that. But
it was awesome.
I think that 84 club, anybody that was on the fence of being a White Sox or Minnesota Twins or Milwaukee Brewer fan, I think we brought them over to being Cub fans that year.
I got to ask you one more, Lee, because after that, you're traded for Al Nipper and Calvin Schiraldi. You go to Boston. And I'm a college kid in the bleachers there at Fenway, and you used to start the game on the bench, and then about fifth inning, you would make the very, very slow walk from the dugout to the bullpen, and the whole crowd in the bleachers would stand up and bow to you and go, "Big Lee, Big Lee." Do you remember that, and did you walk as slow as it seemed like you were walking, Lee?
Hey, definitely, man. But you know what? The top of that story out there, I was – Bob Stanley had been there like 14 years.
Yep.
And I actually came to Boston my very first game. Alan Trammell hit a damn home run off me.
Oh, jeez.
Dude, so I go back there. I go down there the next day, and they're bowing. And Bob Stanley like, "Man, what the heck did you do to these people?" I said, "Hey, man, you know that role was right behind the left field the right field to the right center." He said, "Yeah, what the hell? How do you know them people? You only been there 2 days." I'm like, "Man, them are drinking buddies."
It's a lot of drinking buddies.
It was so amazing, man, that when I went there, the fans just fell in love with me, man. It was unbelievable.
Smitty, we can't thank you enough. I'm going to be excited to be down there and watch you have your day. It's something great for you, but I know how proud you are for your family and the city definitely. Of Castor in Louisiana, how much pride it brings you.
Yeah, man, definitely, Bruce. I tell you what, thank you guys for having me on, man. I can't wait. I just my little lady Diana's been getting on me a hard time, but don't get long-winded.
I know.
It's, the game to 120.
It's our fault. It's our fault. Smitty, we'll see you at the park. Thanks again, buddy.
All right, guys.
All right, take care.
Bro. You got it, man.
Hall of Famer Lee Smith joining us on Inside the Clubhouse.
And awesome.
What a joy it was to get to know him when I first started out back in 1981. I think he was a rookie back then.
Yeah.
He was a starting pitcher at that time.
And then everywhere he went, like Boston was like, oh, my God, we got Lee Smith. Then he goes to St. Louis. They're like, oh, my God, we got Lee Smith.
Yeah.
It's like everywhere he went, it was like, oh, my God.
Long, long overdue, but now a Hall of Famer. So great day tomorrow.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.